Good morning, and greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's been a blessing being here already this morning. I'm especially blessed with how God is bringing the messages together. I felt like Mervyn's message this morning ties in very well with what I have on my heart. As a matter of fact, I have Acts 9 in my notes. So I think we'll probably skip over that then, more or less. I would like to this morning, as a little bit of a prelude to the message, I want to read a little, two verses out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up by putting you in remembrance. So, he's saying there that he will remind us. So this morning, for a little bit of remembrance, and I would like your interaction with this, I would like to go back to the weekend that we had here with Andy and Levi and Mickey. And from that point to now, I would like to make a list of things that stood out to us in those messages that weekend and anything up until now. And I think you will see then how that will tie into my message. So for myself, I think probably the point that stood out to me the most from that weekend that Andy talked about, he mentioned that we cry out to God as a beggar. So I get the picture of a beggarly cry. I'm going to put that down, and then I would like input from you all as well. Okay, someone else. Something that stood out from then until now, any message, any thought, any brother? Stephen. Okay, the fear of God. What else?
The fear of God and the word of God. Those were some of the key things that stood out.
Fear of God and the word of God as being keys to foundations in a biblical convictions. Okay, someone else. Joseph. Actions affect the heart. I'm just going to put down actions and heart. We know the thought behind it. Okay, somebody else. Mervyn. Mr. Carnal and Mr. Spiritual. We all remember that one. Let's have a few more. Jariah. Biblical view of authority. Okay, I'm just going to put down authority for the sake of time and my poor writing. Anybody else? I have a few more here. Levi talked about a slop bucket. He talked about teddy bears. Mickey talked about throwing ropes. You know, who is influencing us? Mickey talked about pursuing God, and then pursuing man. Andy talked about a call to closeness. Andy also talked about the marinade that we're in. More recently, Stephen talked about the importance of your faith. John talked about running from Jezebel. I think we'll leave it with that. So my point in this is, we've been taught the Word of God. This, and everything since then, we've been taught the Word of God. It's been laid out before us. I think everything that we heard from that weekend to now was the Word of God. It matches up with it. Okay. So as we go through this, remember that we are taught the Word of God. My title this morning is A Doer of the Word. Why don't we before we get into it, why don't we stand for prayer. Eternal Father God in heaven, we do come before you here. Lord, we want to share your word here. I do pray, Lord, that you would give me clarity of heart and mind. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to have open hearts and minds to receive your word. Lord, we do thank you for the word that already has been shared with us. We do thank you for the inspirations that we've already gathered this morning, Lord. I do pray, Lord, that you would guide this message, guide my thoughts, Father. Father, I do pray that you would continue to be with us here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. All right, turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. This is sort of the passage that this message is stemmed out of. James chapter 1, verse 19. 19 to 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, as I go through this, I've got quite a few examples. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different points. Some of the examples are gonna, you know, would fit either place. They're kind of gonna overlap. But I will try to make the point that I'm wanting to make with those different passages. Okay. My first point, a hearer of the word. So we see here in verse 22, well, verse 19 first, it says, but let every man be swift to hear. Verse 22 talks about, and not hearers only. But we must hear. I mean, if we are to do, we must hear. Proverbs 8, verse 33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So, if we want to be wise, if we want to prosper, we must hear. We must hear. But hearing alone is not going to do it. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 14. Actually, I have it written here. I don't need to turn to it. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So there again, we see the importance of hearing. If we want to believe, we must hear. Very important to hear. Very important. I do not want to in any way minimize the importance of hearing, of having our ears open, our hearts open to hear that word. I would like to make mention here, back in James, where it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word engrafted gives me the picture that it's not natural with us. It's not our first nature. But it is something that was taken and implanted into us, into our heart. It was brought in. It doesn't come from within us. It comes from God and brought into us. I'm going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 33 for an example here. Ezekiel chapter 33 verses 30 to 32. Here we have an example of people that heard, but we'll see what happened with it. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. So they were even saying, come, come hear the word, come hear it. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. You know, I had to think with this, and I've done this. We heard a message, and I say, wow, that was a good message. Wow, that brother really preached. And there's nothing wrong with recognizing a good message. But if you know, here, these people, they did the same thing. They said, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Verse 32, and lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. You know, it was pleasant to them. They heard it. It was pleasant. Wow. That was a good message. But they didn't do it. They were hearers only. They were hearers only. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. We have there the account of the sower. Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a little while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. People that heard the word, received it, even applied it a little bit, but it didn't last. It didn't last. Because they were not diligent in doing the word. They heard, like I said, it is very important that we hear. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. I'm not going to read all of that, but kind of skip through there and get points of it. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. So perilous times will come in the last days. And here is something that will show up in the last days. Verse 7. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. So I hear there that we're, you know, ever hearing, ever learning. We learn this, we learn that, we learn about these things. But if we don't come to the knowledge of the truth, we're not going to live it out. We're not going to apply it. So I see this as something that's going to happen in the last days. All right. That was my point on a hearer of the word. So I think we understand that it is important to hear, but hearing only will avail to nothing. My next point I have is sitting under the oak tree. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 7. This is the account where the prophet came to King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam was there worshiping that idol. And the prophet came and he cried out against this altar. And the altar was rent right there. And the king reached out to grab him, and his hand withered right there. Then the king asked the prophet to heal his hand. The prophet did. Now, this is what the king said. And the king said unto the man of God, this is chapter 13, verse 7, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. The king asked him to come home with him. The prophet knew the word of God. The prophet knew it well. I mean, we see that very clearly that he knew the word of God. Because he, not only did he cry against the altar, he brought the altar down, he performed a miracle, and now he shared with the king what God had told him. Skipping on down to verse 13. So there were some men there. They went home and told their father what happened. Their father said unto his sons, and he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. I think we know what happened after that. That poor prophet was killed by a lion. This prophet, he still knew the word of God. He told this false prophet the word of God. It was clear to him. But this prophet, his first mistake was, now, to my understanding, God did not tell him that he cannot sit down and rest. God didn't say that, but God told him, go, talk to the king, and go home. Okay? This prophet's first mistake was to sit down under the oak tree. He got weary. He got tired. But he sat down under the oak tree. He allowed another person under the name of an angel to bring another word into his life. But it was false. I think too often in our Christian life, we get weary. I do. I get weary. I sit down under an oak tree and I rest. I know of a young man right now. He's planning to leave his church. He's planning to move to another church. But he's not planning to be a part of the church. He just wants to be there. He wants a break. That young man is sitting under an oak tree, and unless he repents, he's going to die. Because that's not what we do with the word of God. It's just not what we do. It's just not what, it just doesn't work out that way. We see it very clearly here. My mind also went to a scripture in Galatians chapter 1. And this is, this passage here, this verse here in Galatians, it's sobering to me. Because I know I have failed in this. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. This prophet in Kings, he didn't do that. He knew the word of God. God spoke to him. But he allowed this false prophet over here to come and say, an angel told me. And an angel from God told me to come bring you home with me. He should have said, oh no. God himself told me this. Now, I'm not promoting at all here that we listen for an individual voice from God. I heard from God. But I am promoting that we stick to the Word of God. And that we don't, if we are, you know, this man was convinced that he can't go home, or that he can't go eat. He was convinced. Yet he allowed another voice to speak into his life. He knew the word, he heard the word, but it didn't match up. The two didn't match up. So if this prophet would not have stopped under that oak tree, he would have never been deceived. But he was deceived because he stopped to rest under that oak tree. I had to think, what do we need to do if we find ourselves sitting under an oak tree? And we realize that we've made ourselves vulnerable. Here are two scriptures that I thought of, that I came across, that are a place to start with that. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40 and 41, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. If we find ourselves relaxed, sitting, it's time that we search our hearts. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. There we see again, examine yourselves. If we're sitting under the oak tree, I don't think we're in the faith. Not that I'm making the judgment that if we find ourselves there, that we're lost, but something is lacking. Something is lacking. There is faith lacking in my life if I am resting under the oak tree. There is faith lacking, I believe. We need to examine ourselves. Have we allowed an angel or some other person to persuade us of something that's not according to the Word of God? If we hear the Word of God should bring conviction. I'll talk a little bit about conviction. We can respond to conviction in two different ways. Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. We see here two different responses when conviction settled into these hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? My point here is to follow the conviction that settled into these hearts. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We see there the action that came out of their life. But it all started with a pricking. They heard the word. They were convicted. They were pricked. And they moved upon that. And they did something about it. Acts chapter 16. Another example. This is another positive example. But I have one coming here that's not so positive. Acts chapter 16, verses 29 to 34. About that the jailer there. Acts chapter 16, verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Don't we just see the conviction, that pricking, that settling upon this heart? And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We see that conviction setting in there. We see that he moved. He responded to it. He was converted. He was baptized. If we find ourselves, maybe we're sitting under an oak tree. Maybe we're whatever. And we feel that conviction setting upon us, that pricking in our hearts. May we ask the question like the jailer did, "Sirs, what must I do? What do I need to do? I want to change this in my life. I feel convicted here. How can I be different? What must I do to be saved?" he asked. Acts chapter 24. And this is a sad account here, because this man was so close. This man was so close to the truth. He heard the truth. He was convicted. But his response was different. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He was convicted. He was pricked. He trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." We don't read anywhere in the scriptures that convenient season ever happened. I don't think it did. If we feel convicted in our hearts, if we feel pricked in our hearts, there is no better season than right now. Than right now. Because a more convenient season might never come. It might never present itself. So, I guess I give this as a plea or a warning that a more convenient season might never come. Today is the day. All right, going on to my next point. Doing the word. Doing the word. Romans chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." If we want to be justified before God, we must do. Matthew chapter 7. I have some scriptures here that talk about the blessings of doing. And that is exciting to me, to talk about the blessings of doing the word. Felix, he never experienced those blessings because he never responded to the word that we know of. I mean, I don't want to say that for a fact, but we don't read that he ever responded. Matthew 7, chapter 21, or verses 21 to 24. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, I love this. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If we want to be a wise man, we must do. Verse 24 there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. It's a hearing and it's a doing. We hear, we get convicted, and we do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. This world will pass away, the lust will pass away, these temptations will pass away, but he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. Revelations chapter 14, verse 22 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. That is the only right that we have, is the right to the tree of life. And only if we do his commandments, only if we walk in his will, do we have the right to the tree of life. I was going to talk a little bit about the account there in Acts chapter 9 where Paul was converted. I would like to just get one verse out of that account. I'm not going to nearly read everything. I just want to get that one verse. Verse 6. This was Paul's response to the Lord. And he trembling again, that conviction, that fear, that presence of God setting into his heart. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then the Lord gave him instruction. I want to hold that very high, that we respond to the conviction and the word of the Lord in that way. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm going to talk a little bit about the account of David in 2 Samuel. This is where he committed sin with Bathsheba. I'm going to talk a little bit about David here. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in the city, the one rich and the other poor. We know that story, how Nathan told David how this rich man took the poor man's one sheep and slaughtered that sheep for his guests, I believe it was. And now verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. David spoke out his own doom right there. David just, yeah, he spoke out his own condemnation right there. Verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Oh, all of a sudden David was quiet. Thou art the man, Nathan said. Let's go down to verse 13 and see David's respond. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. David said, I have sinned unto the Lord, against the Lord. He sinned against Uriah, he sinned against himself, but he said, oh, I have sinned against the Lord. I have wondered what would have happened to the prophet back in Kings there if he would have said, oh, I have sinned. Lord, I'm sorry. What if he would have cried out? I don't know. The Lord might have spared his life. The Lord might have spared his life. The Lord spared David's life here. He may have spared that prophet's life. If we cry out to the Lord in this way, I have sinned against the Lord. Or we cry out with, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord will save our life. It will. He will. It's promised in his word that he will save our life. My next point here, I have going on with purpose. Not really about doing and hearing anymore, but I would like to encourage us. You know, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. Do we find ourselves having sinned against God? Do we find ourselves under this oak tree? Do we find ourselves never having experienced God? It doesn't matter where we find ourselves. What matters is what we do from here. I have going on with purpose. Hebrews chapter 12. I just have a few more scriptures here, then I'll be done. If I can find it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We have here Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And we have this great cloud of witnesses. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I have a question for myself, for you all. Why are we tempted to sit under the oak tree? It's because we're tired. It's because we're weary. How about we do what verse 1 says here? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay these things aside, these things that make us tired and weary. Let us press forward. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is another thing that we can do here. If we find ourselves in sin, sitting under the oak tree, wherever we find ourselves, we need to turn our focus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He's saying that he has not attained yet. He's not there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If we find ourselves weary, worn, tired, not sure, are we hearers only, or are we doers? You know, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves. Let's fix our gaze on that prize. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us do that. We need to get our eyes on that mark, on that prize. We need to forget everything that is hindering me. These things that are dragging me down, these weights that are besetting us. Forget those things, focus on that prize, and go forth. I have found for myself in my own life, if I don't do those things, if I don't exercise those two passages, they're in Hebrews 12, and if I don't keep my eyes on that mark, I get weary very quickly. Very quickly, I start feeling overwhelmed and weary. One more passage here. This is Paul's testimony, his dying testimony in 2 Timothy. His dying testimony, I want this to be the testimony of my life, and I want this to be the testimony of each one of you out there, your lives. Paul said this at his dying day. I trust we can say this today. This needs to be our testimony today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Then after this, I'll be done. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul is saying, I'm going to die. I'm ready. I'm going to die. My time of dying is at hand. Verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought a good fight, he says. Have you fought a good fight? Have I fought a good fight? Have I kept the faith? Is there laid up for me a crown of righteousness? Has the Lord reserved a crown of righteousness for me? May the Lord bless each one.